Hello and welcome to the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. I am joined by my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good, Will. Coming off a weekend where I got to see you in person yesterday at the arena. We had a chance to reunite. You gave me this bag of candy that I finished during the third quarter. By the way, please bring five more of those next time you see me. Do you want to promote this candy, by the way?
Yeah, our producer, Derek, we got a kick out of it. It's Penha. It's a Portuguese soft candy, soft chew candy. Yeah, Portuguese high chews is what these were. And I'm not even kidding. We had a whole bag. I pulled it out around halftime because I realized that I had it in my bag. And yeah, I don't know. They're all gone. It was like 80-20 for you, but still. Highly recommend.
Yeah,
let's sponsor the show, Penha.
Yeah, Penha sponsor. This is better than Haichu, man. Like, I got to say. And
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you were literally in your bag. You were literally in your bag. You know, I took a couple home and, you know, took a photo of three
you took
of them
the remaining
after
three
the game.
Home.
And I told you those were my three stars of the game because the Raptors had such a pathetic first half performance before inspiring the city with their second half comeback. 114-105 loss to Portland. They deserve to be 22-22 at this point in the season. I think that's the perfect record for this team. They're going to play Charlotte tomorrow at home before going to Chicago on Wednesday on the second half of a back-to-back. First of all, do we need to talk about me and you at the arena, the experience? I know you've been to the empty arena, but it was fun to have a companion yesterday, right, Will?
Yeah.
Wow, did you have to pause and think about that? Come on, man. I know you couldn't watch much basketball in the first quarter, but you already know how it is.
Obviously the game itself wasn't a good time, especially the first half, given how bad the Raptors started the game. I don't know. I just felt like there just was a total lack of atmosphere. Like, even you, for example, right? So you come to the game. I'm there like probably an hour 45, maybe even. Yeah, about an hour 45 before tip. You come in there about an hour 15 before tip, and it's just like dead silent in there, right? Like, you can attest to this. They weren't even playing music or anything. You could hear all the coaches talking to each other. You don't even want to talk to loudly, you know, at a normal voice to someone beside you because you're worried that, like, everyone else can overhear, you know, you making jokes about Malachi or whatever, or me making jokes or whatever, right? Like, that's how quiet it is in there. So, I don't know. There just felt like an overall lack of atmosphere. It was also really cold in the arena. Like, I was literally wearing my jacket like about midway through the first quarter because, you know, it just was quite cold and drafty in there. And I'm not trying to say that these are the excuses or anything like that. I think obviously there are other things to talk about with the team, and there are tactical things like that. They continue to struggle with the zone, which has been something that's happened for a few games in a row here now. But overall, the atmosphere in the building was just quite odd. And I wanted to get your thoughts on, like, how do we improve this? Like, how do we make it more so that the Raptors, obviously it's an empty arena, but can they bring some energy into the game? Because right now, it feels like a practice in there. Probably even less intensity than a practice, actually.
Yeah, it feels like a scrimmage. It feels like you're just dropping by a gym to watch a Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament, except the players are way more skilled than that. Shout out to CJ Ellaby. I think in terms of atmosphere, I've always said, why don't we just pack the stands with like 100 Raptor mascots and have them distract the opponents? From a noise standpoint, they've been piping in noise. And what I found hilarious yesterday was the sad fan noise that they play, like after a Raptors player would miss a free throw, which I thought was kind of hilarious. Maybe we can turn up the decibels as the Raptors are making a comeback. I mean, it's just impossible to replicate the environment that would have been in the arena yesterday. I mean, first of all, they would have gotten booed off the floor after the first half, but I guess the fans would have been pretty rowdy in the second half. But how about giving you some thunder sticks? Or letting me and you just bring signs into the arena, like free Malachi Flynn or something like that. I don't know. Because the players are so used to during games, like during timeouts, the stoppages in play, looking into the crowd, right? Like, players have talked about this. Like, they'll get distracted, seeing who's in the stands, seeing what things are happening. I swear, man, Chris Boucher was staring right at you yesterday during the national anthem. And, you know, to nobody's surprise.
Don't start this rumor, please.
to nobody's surprise, he came out and had a great first half. You know, this is the type of insider betting information that I should have spread, because definitely would have just bet the over on everything after I saw Chris make eye contact with you. But, you know, Nick talked about this after the game. He said it's really disappointing, right, wrong, or indifferent, whatever your thoughts are. It's just hard about playing without fans at Scotiabank Arena. And he said, but we've been through a lot of hard stuff, so we can't cry about it. We've got to go play, and we've got to play better than we did tonight. I mean, I know you made this observation on the Reaction podcast. You were disappointed even before tip-off in terms of how seriously the Raptors was taking yesterday's matchup, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It just had a weird air to it, like just all watching everybody warm up and everything like that. I mean, look, warm-ups and everything, like it hardly tells you anything about the game. Like, I'm not trying to say that because X happened, Y is always the result. Like, it's not like that, right? But I think even just observing it, there was just like so much like lackadaisical stuff going on, right? Like, Gary Trent came out and might have warmed up for like 10 minutes. Usually players come out and shoot around for about 20 to go through the whole routine, you know, shoot all sides of the floor. He was in and out, you know, and that's unusual for him. He usually has a longer routine. I'm not sure what was going on there. You know, you had like a minute, literally they have the clock, right? And it's like right before tip, they have the countdown clock. And it was in the seconds portion, like no more minutes left, just seconds. And you have Malachi and Bonga like shooting half-court shots. And it's like, you know, you have Pascal in the tunnel, like behind the bench, like basically towards where they go back to the locker rooms. And he's throwing touchdown passes to Fred at half court, who was launching heaves. Like, it just, I don't know. This just didn't feel like there was like a game about to happen. You know, I understand people wanted to stay loose. I understand, like, you know, this is literally warmups. Like, you're not going to take it that seriously. But at the same time, it just like, it felt very clear to me that it's a Sunday game. They finally return home. You know, it's an empty arena. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And based on the way they started, I guess I wasn't that surprised. Like, there was not a lot of execution, not a lot of energy in what they did. And I think the Raptors probably always feel that they have a comeback in them, right? But, like, why did you have to go down so heavily in the first place? I mean, they were down, like, 22-4. And, like, you know, Nick had called a timeout before that, and it was like, let's try to spark the group a little bit. And what did they come out of the timeout with? A contested three from Fred, and he had a lot of contested threes today, or yesterday. And then they got the rebound, thankfully. And Gary Trent Jr., with the, you know, not a full shot clock, but on the reset, you have 14 seconds. He catches the ball, and he tries to guard Robert Covington, who's a pretty good defender, tall guy, bigger than him. And he tries to drive at him and then spin into a hook shot. Like he was Kareem. And I was like, okay, all right. So, like, this is just the game's just not going to be serious today. And they fell down by 34 points. And I just think that, I'm not saying that you can't do silly stuff in warmers and all this stuff. Like, that's literally, like, the Raptors will go on and cruise to, like, a 30-point win, and they'll do all the same kind of approach. So I'm not even trying to tie the two together necessarily. But there just has to be a sharper focus from the team right from the jump. And I think creating your own energy is going to be tough when it's an empty building. But you got to do it. Like, that's the challenge. And if anything, it should be tougher for opposing teams who routinely probably play like 90% of their games in full buildings in the States coming up to Canada. That's the one game where they're like, okay, this is really odd. For the Raptors, they should be more used to it. And so I thought it was a weird Sunday trap game, except it happened against the Raptors rather than the opposite way.
I think even if people disagree with you about the warm-ups and how lightly the players are taking it, you know, I think the Raptors have been this inconsistent all season, to the point that I do think those small things are worth calling out, because we've seen this pattern all throughout this season of them just not taking teams seriously. You know, they'll show up for a game in Milwaukee, they'll show up for two games in Milwaukee, but they will not show up at home against Detroit. You know, or, you know, when the Utah Jazz literally flew Hassan Whiteside and like five players I've never heard of to Toronto, I remember them falling behind. Didn't they give up 40 points in the first quarter of that game?
Yep.
And they fell behind by double digits and had to come back. And yesterday was just the most extreme case. And I was looking at how they got to their 22-22 record, and they've been so up and down. So they started the season 1-3. Then they had a 5-game win streak. Then they lose 6 of 7. Then they had 14 games where they didn't win more than 2 games in a row or lose more than 3 games in a row. Then they followed that up with the recent 6-game win streak. And now they've lost 5 of the last 7. It's just impossible to know which Raptors team is going to show up at any given night, any given day, which leads to my big question for you on this Monday, Will. Why are the Raptors so inconsistent from game to game?
I think part of it is they'll say that, you know, they're young, right? And this is a pretty young team, especially if you take out Goran Dragic, who's not on the team practically, like one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. I think the other portion is like, they've kind of fallen into some bad habits of like, okay, we'll get down, but Fred's going to make like six shots in a row and we're going to get back in the game and then everyone's going to start to play. And it's like, you can't just wait for Fred to always turn it on. Like, let's be real. Like, Fred is Fred. He's a very good player. He's, you know, arguably the best player on this team, him or Pascal. But you can't expect him to like pull out miracles all the time. Like, you know, like that Jazz game you mentioned is a perfect example, right? They don't take it seriously. I mean, like, who was it? Eric Paschal was outplaying Pascal Siakam, right? That's tough. You know, you can't be losing the battle of Paschals. And then, you know, Elijah Hughes on the other side on a two-way deal or a 10-day deal, I'm not even sure, hits you with seven threes and you're down. And it took so a third quarter where Fred played one of his best quarters ever. And this includes, by the way, game six of the championship game in Oakland where he closed it out. Like, that was one of his best games, quarters ever. This was up there in terms of all the plays he was making, and it sparked the Raptors to life, and they were able to close that game out and beat a Jazz team who, realistically, the Raptors should have come in and have taken a more serious approach. They probably could have just gotten that win with no problem. And it's the same kind of deal here, and it's like they kind of lean on Fred way, way, way too much now. And part of it is like, yeah, Fred can make the big shot. Yeah, they're zoning, so you want to beat some threes to like break it. But it's an over-reliance. It feels like everyone's kind of passing the buck on to Fred, expecting that he'll do it. And the other part is just some of it is just a natural rhythm of the season. Let's be honest. This is late January. It's that time in Toronto where it's like gray 24 hours of the day. You know, it's really cold. The empty arena, you know, all of that. You're coming back from a road trip. You see a Portland team. You're like, oh, wow, I don't have to worry about Dame today. Or like, oh, I don't have to, like, get up and play against Norm. You know, I'm sure they would have gotten up to play against Norm, for example. There was just, like, no juice in the game at all. And so you kind of come out and see them kind of take a lackadaisical or whatever. And I think the biggest difference in the team is just the Raptors are very good when they play hard defense and then they score based off that. Rather than when they come in and just think, oh, we could just score easily on this team, so we'll just mostly rely on our offense to carry us. Those games, the Raptors almost never win. Almost never win. Because guess what? They're actually not that good offensively. Yes, they get a good offensive rating on the whole because they get on the offensive glass, because they get out in transition. Guess what? Those are hustle plays. You get out in transition because you get stops. You get offensive rebounds because you're taking good shots. And when the Raptors start to come out of the game, oh, we're just like, we could score easily, or we could take a couple contested shots, see who's going, who's not going. Let's not make the extra pass or whatever. That's how you get down by 30. Like, most teams in the NBA are pretty good. The point where if you don't treat them seriously, they'll come out and smack you in the face. So that's what happened with the Raptors. And thankfully, they had enough, like, heart to make it a comeback. And the second half was totally different. They played hard defensively, and they scored based off of that. And that's how they made the comeback. So hopefully that's a lesson that they'll learn and they'll take to heart. But realistically, we know we're going to see like two or three more of these games in the next month or so.
Yeah, I find it hard to feel too inspired by that second half comeback because you guys dug yourself this hole yourself. Like, I don't feel bad. Yeah.
I don't think you were that inspired by the comeback because you were watching Bills Chiefs on the laptop.
Oh yeah, I'm a multi hyphen. I gotta keep all. I never know when my next Sportsnet Today shift is happening, and I have to talk to Sho Ali about the NFL.
Is it a Tuesday?
No. I think I'm off this week. But like, I never know, so I have to be prepared. You know, like, so I kept one eye on the Toronto Raptors trailing.
You had 34 points. Eyes on them, man. Let me just describe the scene, okay? Because in the second half, we moved from like the 100 level up to the 600 level, right? And so I was, you know, one of the nice things about the 600 level was like, there's like nobody up there and you're so far away. Like, you can kind of just like, you know, react, talk to each other freely and everything like that. And for me, I was getting really hyped. You know that, right? I told you at multiple points the Raptors are going to come back in this game.
You told me in the second quarter the game was going to be tied at the half. And then I'm pretty sure CJ McCollum just like hit a three right after. And you're like, all right, I take that back.
Yeah, yeah. So they were down 30 at half, which was unfortunate of a prediction. But the whole second half, I knew the Raptors could make a comeback. And I even told you when they subbed in Yusuf Nurkic in the fourth quarter, I was like, this is exactly what the Raptors needed, right? Because they're able to exploit the fact that he's going to sit in the paint. They're going to obviously need to shoot a lot of threes to kind of make the comeback. He's not really a ball handler. He turned the ball over a couple of times. And also, like, you know, Delano drove right past him, for example, some of that. So I believe the whole time, and I was pushing and I was very energetic. And every time I was like, yo, look at them. They got it down to 15. And I look over to you and you're like, yeah, I saw that. And you're just like watching this incredible game happen between Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen, who
because I
have
knew,
now learned about because I've watched that one game. Because that was that good of a game.
you became a football fan over the weekend. Listen, this is people always like, hey, what's it like watching a game with Will Lou? That's the whole experience. Pretty much, you're really intense, and you treat every game like it's game seven of the finals. Like, you were really into it in the fourth quarter. Like, you were living and dying by every possession. Yep. Like, pretty sure, you know, if you were watching on the television broadcast, if you heard a scream when Yusuf Nurkic did his rip-through move and drew an and-one and made the basket, you know, that was definitely Will Lou, because we spotted Bobby Webster leaving the stands after the first quarter, and I don't think returned.
Bobby No, he never did, man.
Did he?
Not saying he left the building or whatever, but I'm sure he just went to the back.
We're not going to throw Bobby under the bus, Asian Heritage Month coming soon, but he was either negotiating for a new condo or trying to, like, get O'Shea Brissett for two first-rounders. Okay? Those are the two options.
By the way, watching Bobby in the wild is always so funny, because so he's in the suit, he's talking to everybody before the game, long chat with, like, you know, Alec McKechnie, and also talking to Matt Devlin, and the players are coming up and dapping him. You know, one time Malachi walked down the tunnel after his, you know, warm-up routine, and he went down the tunnel with them for a quick chat and came back and talked to other guys. Chris Boucher came down to sit down, whatever, right? He's Bobby. He's like one of the bosses. And then the other part of it that's really funny is this: he just has two giant phones that he's holding with him at all times. And sat down in the stands. He had one holding both phones in one hand, like that Kawhi photo where he's like holding the two water bottles. That's what Bobby was doing with the two phones, like two like iPhone XRs or whatever they were, pretty big phones. And he had one phone to his ear, and the other phone was like literally dangling between his face and his palm. And the other phone, I don't know, it was not quite Joe Dumars, but maybe the modern version of Joe Dumars, because I think Joe Dumars was still on landlines at that time.
Yeah, that's how many phones the Raptors front office need to try to acquire the number of bench players that they need right now to field an official NBA team. But I think he made a good point about Fred as well, in terms of having overstretched his role, just from an eye test standpoint. Like, this man looks exhausted. And like, just watching him have to fight through these possessions, like, when he plays 42 minutes, 44 minutes a game, they are not easy 42, 44 minutes. Like, there are no possessions.
No, these are the hardest possible minutes. He's getting double-teamed, and he's double-teaming the other side.
He's at the front of the full-court press. He's playing with five fouls. On every offensive possession, he has to create either for himself or the rest of his team, and then he's being asked to throw up, like, 15 three-pointers a game. So in his last four games, Fred, 78% of his field goal attempts have come from three, and he is shooting 29.8% from three during that span. Yesterday, he was 4 of 15 from three, 6 of 19 overall. Now, you know, we were comparing him to Steph Curry a couple weeks ago, and, you know, it was a bit facetious just to point out the fact that, like, he was on a pace that was pretty ridiculous, and you expect some regression, all of this stuff, but to me, I mean, this is the effect of playing seven players. This is the effect of giving all these minutes to Fred. It's going to catch up. And this is not even an excuse for Fred. Like, you can just see the energy level is not there. He seemed more frustrated than usual yesterday, picked up a technical foul, all of that stuff. Like, this is just all the byproduct of fatigue, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think part of it is that, for sure. And I think both fatigue in terms of, like, physical fatigue, and there was a sign of that where there was a play in the fourth quarter where Fred drove, tried to get the call, didn't get it, right? Which, by the way, driving to try to get the call is always a gamble, because if you don't get the call, chances are you're probably falling over and stuff, and you're giving yourself a disadvantage going the other way. But Fred drives, doesn't get the call. He stays down. And the Raptors are thankfully able to create the turnover. Delano Banton with the deflection, then Delano and Pascal get on the break. And it's a 3-on-1 fast break, except for the fact that Fred is just like crawling up to his feet after about 10 seconds being down, because he's that tired. And Delano and Pascal actually execute a really good 2-on-1 fast break, with Pascal finishing an alley-oop over Yusuf Nurkic. And really, the highlight of the plays for me was just Fred just like slowly sauntering in the corner, because that's how tired he is. But I also think it's like mental fatigue too. It's like, honestly, if you're Fred, aren't you tired of like having to lift this team? Like, why is that his responsibility only? Right, to just come out and lift the team and just like, hey, let's play seriously. Let's like make the extra pass. Let's do the right things. Let's take good shots and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that catches up to them as well. But this is also, you know, and I'm not saying these are the dog days of the NBA season, but It is a little bit tough. I think you're going to see some more inconsistent results. And to be honest, like, maybe we should focus a little bit more on, like, the way they came back, because that was very admirable to me. Like, the amount of energy guys had to expend pressing full court, and they did a pretty good job of it. I thought Nick did a better job of introducing other guys to come in and give them some energy, whether that was Delano or Justin Champagny. Those guys were able to come in and take some of the minutes from the other hustle guys like Precious and Chris Boucher, who Boucher came out strong, but then I didn't really see anything from him the rest of the game after about the first 5-6 minutes he started playing. And then Precious was just a non-factor all game, missing some obvious reads and things like that. So it was nice to see Nick try a couple other guys down the roster. And even for Delano personally, I mean, he only played a short while, hit a corner three, he hit a layup, and you know, that, you know, it wasn't like the greatest performance from him overall, but I think it's just nice seeing him rewarded for the fact that he's been doing well at the G League. Every time he goes down there, puts up 30, 10, and 10, and, you know, is physically dominant and is able to get downhill and stuff. And, you know, he deserves a chance because he's definitely winning at that level. And so, you know, if you need a guy to come in and do something for you, push the pace, handle the ball, be a change of pace kind of player, like, that's what Delano is. And if Nick decides, you know what, maybe I will play another backup point guard at some point because Fred's playing 56 minutes a game, then yeah, probably my pick will be to try Delano again and see what he has in about, you know, 10, 15 minute spurts here or there.
Yeah, once again, man, I'm not going to show that much love to that second half comeback. Like, it was good, but again, like, I just can't give credit to a team that falls behind by 30. Like, you know, valiant effort and all that, but just play more seriously, man, like you mentioned. And, you know, speaking of Delano, so the Raptors today just announced they've assigned Delano, Malachi Flynn, and Utah Watanabe to play with the Raptors 905 tonight. So Utah really hasn't gotten going since coming back from health and safety protocols. And by hasn't gotten going, I mean he has 2 full total points since returning. And he's got 2 mini Tony Snell cardio games. Yesterday, 2 minutes versus Portland, zeros across the board. 5 minutes at Milwaukee, it was zeros across the board. Shouts to Tekashi, though, getting a shout-out on Friday when Rui Hachimura and Utah finally played. And shouts to Nick Nurse doing some fan service, putting Utah into the game, having him guard Rui so he can keep his friendship with Tekashi going and so he can still fly to Japan. So, you know, Nick Nurse is always playing the long global game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that, you know what, that is nice of him. Honestly, it is nice. You got to give your player some face. I honestly, you know, it's a big situation that both Rui and Utah are facing with, like, you know, it's like 100 million Japanese people and basketball is becoming very popular there. And, you know, they're the two guys and everyone wants to see that matchup. So even though, you know, for Nick, like, yeah, he probably doesn't have plans to have Utah in the rotation right now, but, you know, he at least gave them what they want. But my question to you is, when is it going to be Malachi Flynn Day? When is it going to be Malachi Flynn Heritage Night? Because he deserves a chance to play, no?
I think we're going to get Eric Flynn Heritage Night before we get Malachi Flynn. Listen, man, if one of these networks, you know, Sportsnet and the other one that we can't mention, wants, you know, monster ratings on a Tuesday against Charlotte, organize a Nick Nurse, Eric Flynn Zoom. It is literally the number one thing that I think fans want right now.
That's a real indictment of where the Raptors are. I mean, look, like, I think
what you mean 2 weeks ago when we compared every player to Dennis Rodman wasn't an indictment? That is looking so embarrassing in retrospect, I swear.
Yeah, that one's a little tough. And I think for the Raptors, though, like, look, just come together. There's an easier stretch coming up. There's a softer
just
part of the schedule.
Just come together. Hold on, man. This is a real indictment on the Raptors. I'm
trying to be positive.
Will Lou's advice to the Raptors is just come together.
I'm just saying, like, let's just be serious for a while. Let's just take care of business. No more slow starts. Let's make sure that the leadership of the team is there.
There's no take care of business with this team. Like, you just cannot predict which team is going to show up every night. Like,
no,
it is just impossible. And
you're
feel like we get roped in. We get roped in when they have like 3 good games, 4 good games. Because I think mostly we do want to be positive and we want to find the silver linings in this team. And listen, we do our jobs no matter what, you know, besides me watching football. But like, you know,
I was going to say, you fully watched that game more than you watched the comeback. It was quite unbelievable.
Listen, man, both things were very important to my career at once yesterday. But listen, like, it doesn't matter if they're going for a championship. It doesn't matter if they're 20 games under 500. Like, we still have to cover them. But one of the hardest things to cover is this type of team. a 500 level team, a 22-22 team, because you can point out the good, but then the next game they will come back and just show you everything that is wrong with them. And the Raptors have just consistently done that over and over again, and it's been 44 games now, right? Like, we can talk about the health and safety protocol, we can talk about the injuries, but now the guys are mostly back except for Ken Burch, who's out, and we're still seeing this. So it's not about one guy, this is just a whole team. And like we saw yesterday during the first timeout in the first quarter, when the Raptors were already trailing by double digits, Nick Nurse's face was beaming red.
Oh yeah,
like there
he
was
gets
just,
red very quickly these days. But I'm worried about the blood pressure.
You know, like right before the timeout, he'll huddle with the other coaches before he goes and talks to the players. I noticed during that timeout, before he went to the players, he pulled out his fisherman's friends because he knew he was going to be yelling. So, no, but like just from a body language standpoint, and again, these are the things I guess we can see when we're closer at the arena. I mean, Nick's got to be beyond frustrated. He said last week, of the 4 years that he's been head coach here, this has been the most frustrating year. And I don't think...
Oh, well, of course. I mean,
yeah,
two of like, those years, he had some real vets on that team.
I know, but I still think that's a pretty damning statement when you look at how frustrating Tampa was last year. And, you know, when you're looking at this, I don't know if it's the external circumstances, you know, the empty arena can't help, but the inconsistency has to be driving Nick crazy. And it's got to be driving Fred insane too, as the leader of the team, because like we've said this, Fred should not be the number one option, and this is no disrespect to him, but like this, we're seeing now what it means when you just, you know, ask Fred to do too much. Fred should be a nice complimentary player, and like more than a complimentary player. I mean, he's an all-star level player, but you cannot be asking Fred to carry like a Steph Curry, Kevin Durant type of responsibility on any team. Other than that, I'm in a pretty good mood today, you know. So
yeah, I mean, I think part of what Nick was saying is just like, look, when they got down by 30 last year, and whether they came back or not, but they lost the game, and he went home, and he left the arena, it was 20 degrees outside, not minus 15. It's a little different. I don't know. He saw the sunlight yesterday instead of November.
Last year's like behind the scenes photos was hilarious. It was just like every player, like Fred and Kyle, just showing off their nicest car in the parking lot.
It's always just them driving around in Ferraris, and they're like, "All right, it's time to lock in." I'm like, "There's no locking in, man.
Time to lock."
They're about to talk to Malachi for all game as their personal coaches.
Oh my god, Malachi's got to do a Fred and put on the coach's polo. I think that's his way of getting back into the teacher's pet territory.
Well, I mean, the only way Nick acknowledges him, so.
Oh, man. When do you think the last time they actually said hi to each other?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm sure they communicate. I'm sure they get to talk and discuss things, but.
Are you sure? I don't know, man. If your dad called me out on Facebook, like, I wouldn't talk to you for a week.
First off, it would be over WeChat, not Facebook. Second of all,
yeah,
I mean, like,
Weibo.
Don't you think there was some... no, not at all. Don't you think, though, like, even in this, like, recent assignment where... by the way, I really hope Malachi goes down there and plays a good game. Because I read the stat line last week, right?
Oh,
like,
sure
there
did.
Have been a lot of empty performances. And same thing for Utah. I know Delano's going to play well down there regardless. But, like, there has to be some communication, right? Like, either he went to Nick and said, yo, I need extra reps. Or Nick went to him and said, yo, you need the extra reps. Like, I hope it was the latter, or the former rather than the latter. But in any case, like, there has to be some communication. Hopefully you kind of work it out. And yeah, it's tough. I mean, the last two, like, memories I have of Malachi this season are him going to the G League and getting benched. And then him, like, after the Raptors lost a game, another frustrating result, he didn't play. He comes out, like, 30 minutes after the game is done in an empty gym, and he's just shooting around and getting extra shots up. Like, that's when you know you're down badly. So, are we going to take a break and try to change the vibe of the show? What's going on?
Yeah, let's take a
break. It's not good when you're negative, man. Come on.
I'm not negative, man. I'm just being realistic.
Oh.
Don't listen to me, man. I just watch football.
I'm not kidding. I think Alex might have seen, like, 5 minutes of the second half. Like,
I feel bad
really...
for... Shouts to Josh Allen, man. Josh Allen. That's my guy, man. Great performance, man. Didn't deserve to lose. Now he's got to watch Jimmy Garoppolo throw jump balls next week. It's not cool.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough football. Please take us to break, Will.
That's a good spot for us to take a break. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. I continue to be joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. Alex, what do we got for the second half?
What's up, man? First of all, calling you out on air, man. You taking Thursday and Friday off this week? What's going on?
Yeah, that's right. I am.
Okay, so special announcement, exclusive breaking news. You know, don't rush to the timeline to tweet it out. But, you know, Will be off on Thursday and Friday. So that's right. You have a statement for this, Will? You just can't handle the 82-game grind? What's going on?
Yeah, no, it's tough, man. Honestly, I came home yesterday. I watched some football. I was on transit. And then I was like, okay, I got to write 10 things. It's about 1,500 words. And I was like watching film of the game. And it was like 12:30 already. And I was like, damn, I don't even know if people want to read this. You know what I'm saying? Like, after a loss like that, like, I genuinely don't know if people really are that interested. And that was a little tough. And I was like, you know what? I need a bit of personal time. Try to sneak a little quick weekend getaway and, you know, be a full-fledged human and service my other needs rather than just obsessing about the Raptors, which we will continue to do in the second half of the show, are we not? By the way, I've been really enjoying the Weekend Hour with Alex Wong. I know that's not
the appreciate
official,
it, man.
Official title, but loved hearing two esteemed, decorated book authors.
Yeah, did you hear Chris Herron call me one of the best storytellers in the game? Damn.
Multiple times, too. You even try to do your little self-effacing thing, and he's like, no, I'm not going
to
let you do that.
I don't know how to be humble, man. I was listening back to that. I was like, damn, whenever you try to be humble, it's really awkward because everybody knows that you're not. But that's also my mom's favorite hour, by the way. You know, I saw her over the weekend. She was like, well, for people that don't know, my mom usually messages me and being like, are you on the show today? And I'm like, no. And she'll be like, okay, then I will not listen. She's like, you're so serious on the Saturday shows and you actually talk about real stuff. And then on Monday to Friday, when you show up with Will, I never know what you guys are talking about because you just go off the rails. And I'm like, you know what? And my dad was like, you guys reference like, you know, Asian Heritage Month, you know, Chinatown, Chinese New Year, Happy Lunar New Year in 8 days, by the way, Will.
My dad's like, you
guys do that a lot. Like, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point of me being here. So there we go. That's my parents' review of the show.
I'm happy your parents listen to it. My parents are unfortunately not really in that same
market, we need to change that, man. That doesn't sit right with me. That's like Eric Flynn not watching Malachi play basketball.
That's what it is. You have the Eric Flynn type of parents. I have more of the Wendy Sparks type of parents. It's all good.
No, that's
not
that's,
not to say Wendy doesn't watch basketball. I just mean like just more low key, like chill.
It's a warmth. It's a support, and it's definitely not as much pressure, except for the time when your dad threw your Game Boy out the window, which we still need to dive into. Man, we just got like a potpourri of topics for the second half of the show.
Number one,
send us your Nick Nurse voicemails, 416-413-4144. We're looking for Nick Nurse British Basketball League stories that sound real but isn't, and we'll be giving away finally on this Friday's show the red NN hat. And we've got lots of great voicemails already, even from people like Faisal Kamisa and Danielle Michaud. Unfortunately, we can't let them win. That would just not be fair. That would just be rigging the contest. So apologies to both of them. Actually, Faisal doesn't listen to the show, so I'm going to have to text him. But apologies to Danielle. So that's number one. Number two, I wanted to know, Will, do you play Wordle?
No.
Have you
heard of
Wordle?
But I do see it on
Wordle?
The timeline.
Yeah, you've seen people post the results. Have you looked into what this is? This is our continuing investigation into what Will's life is like outside of the Raptors.
No, I don't. What did I spend the weekend today? I saw some friends, saw my family. My brother is going back to school, so I took him to the train station.
Oh, nice. To your brother, because you're Steph Curry and he's Seth Curry. Yeah.
No, you keep saying this, man. Come on, man. That's not right.
Your brother's going to come fight me at the Raptors Republic tournament.
That's not right, man. When I gave him a copy of Cover Story for Christmas, saying I got Alex to sign it, I couldn't get Alex to sign it for you. Yeah, he was like, wow. I've always wanted to read Alex's books, and now you're going to do this to him. Unbelievable. One of your biggest fans.
Shouts to your bro, man. You know what? I might have him guest host on Thursday when you're not here. How about that?
Don't, man. He's got classes.
How stressed would you be if you turned on Fan 590 on your drive to wherever on Thursday? Because I know you already told me you're planning your whole day around listening to the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we gotta drive up. Me and my partner got to drive up. So we got to – I'm going to try to push it so that we leave at 2 o'clock. We're in the car, too. Yeah.
How stressed would you be if first segment was your little bro and second segment was your mom?
Oh, there's no level of stress higher than that. There actually genuinely isn't.
Okay, we might need to make that a podcast exclusive.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
At some point.
Don't do it. Wow. Leave my family alone, Alex. I can't believe I'm saying this live on air to you.
This leave my family alone is insane. This feels like another Rush Hour scene that I'm remembering right now.
Oh, no, this is the Liam Neeson. That's Liam Neeson telling you, okay? Leave my family alone.
We did get a voicemail on Friday that I forgot to get to last week from Thaddeus from South Dakota, huge Raptors
South
fan.
South Dakota, wow.
Yeah, shout-outs to South Dakota. He wanted to know your personal favorite Raptors of all time starting five. So this is not based on skill. This is not saying pick Kawhi, pick Vince Carter, pick Kyle. Your five personal favorite Raptors, because you did mention in an episode a long time ago that Amir Johnson was your favorite Raptor growing up. So I know he's on the team. Who are your other four? And maybe give a brief explanation on why they are on this list.
Yeah, so I went through this exercise and like clearly you could have, my actual favorite Raptors would be like Kyle at point guard, DeMar at 2, Kawhi at 3, Pascal at 4, and I guess Serge at 5. Like, you know, like it's pretty easy to do that kind of stuff. But like those are the, like also just the most obvious picks. It's not much like conversation they had about that. So for me, when I went through this, like personally, like I had Jose Calderon, but really I should really say Jose Calderford, because I feel like the combination of Jose and TJ Ford that year, I just loved it. Like it was like, you know, when you watch a football team that has like two different options.
Oh, you're going to do the running back thunder and lightning reference again? Come on, man.
No,
I've listened to way too much of your material. It's like watching Seinfeld on repeat at this point, man. Okay, go ahead. Do your damn comparison.
No, but like you had a guy who was super quick and get downhill in TJ Ford. And that was before Al Horford ended him, which was genuinely just one of the many reasons to dislike Al Horford. Okay, he really broke TJ Ford in a way that was just like really, really sad to look back on. Jose Calderon was just more of like the, you know, a pass first kind of like playmaker type, super efficient, really, really made himself into a great shooter. Him and Chris Bosh had a great two-man chemistry. So I really like that. It's hard to pick one. I'm just going to pick both of them. A shooting guard for me, I had Anthony Parker. I think just for the Raptors, it felt like after Vince, they just didn't have a lot of great like options at shooting guard and guys who can consistently make outside shots. And I felt like Anthony Parker, as soon as he came in, he was great from the start. He can get a little bit of his own baskets, but he was also pretty responsible defensively, played within his role, was very reliable from three. And, you know, that's kind of like almost ultimately what I want Gary Trent Jr. to kind of become. I mean, I think they're totally different players personality-wise. Like Anthony Parker was so like stuck within his role, whereas like I feel like Gary is very ambitious, but at the same time, like, you know, maybe somewhere in between the two is probably the best. Honestly, for me, small forward, I have Jamario Moon. I don't know. I just remember at one time in summer camp, you know, like, you know, your parents, they're working, so they got to put you somewhere for the summer or whatever. So they put me at a random summer camp, and one of the activities to burn some time was like, here's a t-shirt, you know, design a t-shirt day. And I literally made a Jamario Moon jersey. And I think it's still at home, which is, I think I might be the only person ever to make a Jamario Moon jersey. If you would like to trade your Jalen Harris jersey for the Jamario Moon handmade jersey, let me know offline. We can discuss rates. And then center
I'll let you know online. And, you know, I'm holding out, hoping to acquire James Harden in the offseason in exchange for my Jalen Harris jersey. So I'm going to go ahead and decline. And you said your last favorite is Bismack Biyombo?
Yeah, and not only because of what he did in the 2016 you know, Easter Conference run, which was awesome, but I also just ran into him at TIFF in 2015, the year he got signed, and I think we were both rushing the same movie or something, so good for Bismack taking in the culture that Toronto has to offer. TIFF is probably one of the best things that happened in the city.
Wow, surprised it wasn't Patrick Patterson, because he's the movie guy, right?
No, he was probably in line to watch, I don't know, some... I don't know.
Yeah, don't say anything. I feel like anything you say is going to be trouble. Let's move on. Next topic. Did you see Jalen Harris had a monster dunk over the weekend in Europe? I saw a video surfacing on Twitter. Well, that's really the whole description. He had a nice one-handed dunk. And, you know, the Raptors still have his rights. So sure. Yeah. Maybe he'll come back next season. Who knows, right?
Yeah, I would say maybe, I guess.
All right, is he
doing great in Italy? I don't know. I haven't really checked in on him in a while. So
you know what? That might be the next interview of the century we should try to secure.
I agree, actually. Because I think we're gonna try to talk to Jody Meeks.
Yeah, you messaged me yesterday on a Sunday and was like, hey man, I got our next interview of the century idea. I was like, oh man, he's gonna ask for Nick and Eric Flynn. He's gonna ask for Fred and Pascal to sit down together. He's gonna ask for Bobby. You're like, yo, let's get Jody Meeks. So you know what?
What's wrong with that? Who doesn't want to hear?
It's great. No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I'm really
I want to know what he's doing with the 905. What his plans are. Go back on memory lane. I thought it'd be good. By the way, I looked up Jalen Harris's numbers in the Serie A this year, and 14 points per game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 39% from the field and 30% from 3.
Listen, man, I saw him put up 30 against the Mavs.
That's the one game everyone points to, but like he barely played last year for the Raptors.
Listen, I'm just saying, the Raptors could use some help. And honestly, and all jokes aside, I do hope he's good and he can make his way back because, I don't know, Raptors could use some help. This leads me to my next question. I was thinking about all the players that the Raptors had in their organization the last couple of years who are now thriving in other places. And I just want to quickly go through these guys with you and quickly get your opinion on, would you want these players back right now if you had a chance for them to be on the Raptors bench? Number one, people forget Campaign was on the Raptors preseason roster during the 2019-20 season and then was waived.
He was in Quebec City.
He was in Quebec City. Me, you, and him visited many museums. I'm thinking about it. Campaign as a backup point guard right now doesn't sound that terrible.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, right now, so he's on a 3-year deal, about $6 million per year. So basically the Kemba Birch deal. You know, he's a little older, 27, but that's okay because he's definitely pretty serviceable. He's kind of not exactly the kind of point guard I think the Raptors would need, because I do think that they like playing bigger. And he is a guy who is small. He's a guy who can get picked on. Defensively, he's pesky, but really, like, he's a defensive negative. But ultimately, he's a guy who can create his own shot, who's pretty decent from three, although his three-point shooting is down. He was 44% last year on low volume, and now he's down to 34%. I think the Raptors clearly have a need at backup point guard, and Campaign is, like, definitely better than Malachi or Delano even. So, I would like Campaign back. We're all looking at the Chateau Frontenac together. Like that's where he was at, and then the Raptors it wasn't even a consideration to keep him on the roster. You know, like he was just kind of there because, you know, in training camp you take 20 guys so you can have like scrimmages or whatever. That's kind of what he was, and now he's, you know, gone to the finals with the Suns.
Listen, this is all revisionist history because nobody at the time was
very
like,
much. Yeah,
we have to.
Oh,
keep
I
campaign.
Thought it was a joke too,
but it is a fun exercise now because the Raptors are in dire need of bench players. Next up is Stanley Johnson, who's having a bit of a revival with the Lakers after Masai told him that he sucked at basketball. This is like legitimate at an exit interview in Tampa last season. Would you like to have Stanley Johnson back?
No, not really, just because the Raptors have so much depth at the position that I don't think Stanley would play. And obviously the Raptors clearly thought that he needed to improve other aspects of his life because, you know, they were not as confident about his ability to play basketball at this level. But I thought, honestly, last year he made some real strides. I really loved having him around in terms of how honest and transparent he was with his quotes. And I thought he made some real strides last year as a player. Now, was it enough to keep him? I guess for the Raptors, they said no. But realistically, they knew they were going to upgrade on the wing and they were going to add more depth there. And, you know, between OG, Pascal, and Stanley, and Scotty in the front court, like where would you even put Stanley? Like who would Stanley play ahead of? Basically, they were looking at last year, Utah outplayed him last year, and they were like, okay, we keep Utah. And then that's what happened. But I'm happy for him because the Lakers really need some help, and he's from LA, and they've really needed his spark off the bench.
Yeah, next up, another guy who's having a pretty good year, DeAndre Bembry is in Brooklyn right now. Would you like to have DeAndre Bembry back?
Not really. I think the Raptors, if they were to get another perimeter player, you would really need three-point shooting, and that's not something that Bembry does. I think he's a really good role player who's able to like play some good point of attack defense, who's able to sort of cut, and he's a really smart cutter. He's a pretty athletic finisher, very smart role player overall, but he's basically this year's version of it. He's almost taking Bruce Brown's role in a way with Brooklyn, and he's much more useful for a team like Brooklyn who have stars who can carry the offense, so that you're not so worried about a guard who doesn't really give you much, like in terms of shot creation or even spacing.
Last one for you, O'Shea Brissett, who's in Indiana now.
To be honest, I haven't seen that much of Indiana this year. The few times I've seen them, I haven't been that impressed with O'Shea. So he's averaging 6 points, 4 rebounds. We know he's very athletic. We know he likes to shoot the three. I thought last year he obviously hit the three at a really high rate. This year, 34%, down from 42%. So it's a big difference. The Pacers overall just don't shoot the three well. But yeah, I guess this is similar to the Stanley thing where it's just like I'm not sure who he plays ahead of. He's definitely probably better than Utah. But other than that, I don't really know. It's not that significant to me. For me, honestly, I'd rather see him get in a situation where he can play consistently. And, I know when he was with the Raptors, he became a father for the first time. So I'm happy he secured a multi-year deal in Indiana so he can take care of his family situation. I'm surprised, by the way, you said last person. You didn't say Matt Thomas. Come on, man. That's your boy.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Matt Thomas, who's been on successful teams like Utah and Chicago since leaving. I saw him lock down Giannis Antetokounmpo the other night.
That's that Raptors culture right there.
Great scene. Yeah, that's that Raptors culture. That's that Tampa culture. Matt Thomas, would you like to have Matt Thomas back?
Honestly, would you rather see Matt Thomas or Steve?
Come on, man. That's a no-brainer. I think Matt Thomas could have a role on this team. But, I mean, they could have just kept Sam Decker, too, I guess. I don't know. But listen, I'm not crying for Sam Decker or Matt Thomas, all right? Just to be clear.
No, I'm happy for Matt. Like, obviously, Chicago's a good team. He's shooting pretty well percentage-wise from three. We know that's the main function of what he does offensively, although he hasn't played many minutes, so it's like 24-54 from three on the season. But, you know, we know what Matt Thomas is. I don't think Nick Nurse liked this defense at all, so he never really played him, right?
Like, yeah, if Nick is out on players, he's out on players. I think that's been clearly established.
Yeah, and I think if they want to play a specific style, like you really need to be like really, really good in offense to compensate for the fact that you're not a strong defender. And Nick is really only going to play guys he believes in defensively. So
no, that's totally fair. And you know, I think Matt did have opportunities, especially coming into last year in Tampa. Nick talked about being impressed with him at training camp, trying to get him a more regular role, and he just really didn't seize it. So which is unfortunate, but. That's enough talking realistically about Matt Thomas. Before we go, I know we started your top 75 animals last week for the 75th anniversary season of the NBA, and you said your number one animal was duck, and also we were working backwards, your 75th animal was red panda. So, you know, we're going to keep building this list out. So I want to know, what's your number two favorite animal of all time, Will?
Probably the octopus. I think it is like...
What's going on?
No, it's just... No, look, I'm being very serious about this, okay? Like, the fact that they can camouflage, like, in the way that they can do it, how smart they are.
You know what?
Like, you
know, they are fascinating.
They've really done a lot of testing with them.
They are actually fascinating.
They're basically aliens on Earth, yeah.
Yeah. I actually just picked up a book that I'm going to read about octopus, so I don't know why I'm shaming.
What?
Okay. Yeah, it's called The Soul of an Octopus, A Surprising Exploration into the Wonder of Consciousness. So they are free book plug. Cover stories. Cover story also in stores now, by the way. Yeah, so octopus. No, that's cool, man. So we'll keep building this list out. And, you know, it was great seeing you yesterday. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow and enjoy your show with Blake tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure I will see you tomorrow because I know you're down bad for the meaty meals. So that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu. And you've been listening to The Raptor Show on SportsF590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. And please rate and review our show. Thanks once again to producer and co-host Alex Wong, to our board producer, Derek Brandeo. And we will talk to you. Well, I guess not we. I guess I will talk to you tomorrow on the show. Thank you.